In the second canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, just performing the sixth chapter, he's about to perform austerities or sacrifice. Because he saw confusion and darkness in all directions, he felt perplexed. So in his heart, he felt an inspiration to undergo austerity. Or sacrifice. So what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is surrendering or offering something of value for the sake of something or someone else. We sacrifice for our friends, or we sacrifice for the country, or we sacrifice for ourselves. Sacrifice is the point of life. Remaining selfish leaves one feeling unfulfilled and subject to the world's condemnation. And a selfish person is never very famous in the world. But someone who's selfless, and selfless worker, humanitarian worker, they're quite appreciated. Those who sacrifice their lives for the welfare of others are universally honored. Still, one sees that it is the desire to take and exploit rather than serve and sacrifice that dominates the times. This is a material world. Take, grab everything you can and exploit it. Instead of serve and sacrifice. Because of this tendency to take and exploit one another, people feel loveless, lonely, dissatisfied, and impoverished in spirit. So Prabhupada draws a parallel between the predicament of Brahma and his dilemma to create. The personalist, the worshiper of the Lord, out of gratitude, the devotee worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from Krishna. A devotee endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is a property of the Lord, and no one can claim anything as one's own. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshiper in being engaged in Krishna's loving service. So Brahma explains in text 28, that he performs sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. So the word sacrifice, although we see the yagyas and devata puja, deva yagyas, throughout the Vedic literature, and superficially appears that the goal of Vedic sacrifice is to please a particular demigod. Brahma states that the actual purpose and goal of sacrifice is to please Krishna. So the word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interest for the satisfaction of a second person. That's kind of what marriage is all about. In marriage, you learn sacrifice, cooperation, and surrender. These are all good qualities in spiritual life. Sacrifice, cooperation, and surrender. Surrender to God and Guru, and cooperate with their wish, and sacrifice your tan, man, dan, Guru Samarpan. Krishna Samarpan. That is the way of all activities. Every man is engaged in sacrificing his interest for others, either in the form of family, society, community, country, or the entire human society. But the perfection of such sacrifice is attained when sacrifice is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. As the Lord is the proprietor of everything, and the Lord is the friend of all living entities, and he's a maintainer of the performer of sacrifice, as well as the supplier of the ingredients of sacrifice. It is he only, and no one else, who should be satisfied by all sacrifices. If, Prabhupada says, if men at all want peace in the world, they must practice sacrifice in the interest of the supreme proprietor and friend of all, Sri Krishna. And Prabhupada lectured on this point in 1969, May 9th. In Ohio. He says that for every honest soul, sacrifice and service to Krishna are natural. If we're a little bit open-minded and soft-hearted, we can appreciate the gifts of God. Don't you see how God is supplying all the necessities of birds, beasts, and everyone? Also our necessities. But we don't acknowledge it because we are, quote, civilized. So we think it's prehistoric or to acknowledge the grace of God. The birds and beasts, they do not acknowledge the gifts of God because they are birds and beasts. So we are just becoming like them, like beasts and birds, denying the authority and existence of God. We are taking advantage of all the gifts of God through nature. If God does not supply us with sunlight, we will die. But he doesn't charge anything. But because you are human beings, you should try to repay. You should think, oh, Krishna is so kind. He's giving us so much facilities. Let me render some service unto him. This is Krishna consciousness. When one is conscious of God, then he acknowledges, oh God, oh my Lord Krishna, you're so kind. You're giving me so many things. So I've collected this fruit. It is your fruit. I know that. But still, please accept it. By this simple act, one can become a great devotee of the Lord. So sacrifice, this is a principle of life, and especially in spiritual life, it's a principle. But what are we sacrificing? We're only sacrificing. What do we have to offer in the altar of sacrifice? We have our body, we have our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our willing, our energy, our words. Krishna has given us the body and the words, the ability, the thinking power, the working power, the action power. It is given by God. So, out of appreciation and gratitude, one expresses his love and appreciation by trying to serve the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this section here is about devotees in bhakti. There's no fall, no loss. Described in first canto that Krishna, he protects and safeguards the assets of his devotees. Bharat Maharaj, he was a king and he became attached to a deer. And he was a very devoted person, serving Krishna. But then when he died, he thought of the deer. So he became a deer, but he remembered the holy name. Like Gajendra, Gajendra could also chant the holy name. There's no limit. So when Bharat became a deer, he took birth in a forest near an ashram of all saintly people. So they would give him Mahaprasadam every day. And he would hear Hari Katha and hear the kirtans. Then when he died, then he chanted Hare Krishna. So then he became a great Brahmin, Jad Bharat. Right? Three births. Chitraketu, Ajamil. They all prove Krishna's promise to protect his devotees' advancement. A devotee never serves in vain. Even if one is unsuccessful in his attempts at devotion. For example, Prabhupada says, sometimes due to temporary sentiment, one surrenders to Krishna and engages in his service for a short time. But then in the long run, for so many different reasons, he falls down from the path of devotional service because of undesirable association. Despite this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto Krishna's feet, even if there's a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in devotional service, one will continue the service in all circumstances. And that's told in Bhagavad Gita. Neha vikrama nashasti pratyavayona vidite swapamapi siddharmasya trayato atobayat. Sapamapyasadharmasya. Even one performs a little bhakti, then Krishna will deliver that person from calamity. Most dangerous position. So this is a reassuring note for the devotee. So now we want to hear something about Kali. Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is a very nefarious personality. When Kali was asked where he could stay, then Pariksha Maharaj said, listen, I'll give you a place to stay. Of course, in those days, it was hard to find such a place. But in the first canto, 17th chapter, verse 38, Pariksha said, you can stay, I'll give you a place of residence. You can stay wherever there's gambling, drinking, prostitution, animal slaughter. And you can also live where there's gold, because wherever there is gold, there is falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. So gold is the fifth shelter offered to Kali. His gambling houses, liquor shops, brothels, and slaughterhouses. These are four residences of Kali. And the fifth one was gold. The gold standard. Kali Yuga is a gold standard. So Kali is quite happy in this age. And Jiva Goswami explains that in Kali, that Kali resides anywhere where gold is not used for religious purposes. Because he's a religion personified. So gold is being used for God or for Krishna. Build fantastic temples or ashrams or all these things, then Kali won't be there. Pariksha dispelled Kali by allowing him to, by allowing gold to be used only for religious purposes. Sridhar Swami states that if one wants to be a spiritual public leader, he should be free from attachment to women and gold. So they go together. Women and gold. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold, and Kashyapu means soft bed. Hiranyakashipu is very fond of collecting gold and collecting women. So this is... of course, there are some good things about Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada often gives it in his purports. He says that to drive out corruption from the state, first, we must organize society to accept the principles of religion. And Prabhupada is quite adamant here. He said, we must close all the places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. So Prabhupada had his way to close all the liquor shops and all the bars and government wine shops and brothels and all these slaughterhouses and meat restaurants would all be closed. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge. So now we've heard about Kali. So it's explained in 118.7 that Pariksit Maharaj, although understanding the nature of Kali, he was never envious of Kali, because he understood that there's also advantages to Kali Yuga. Even in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, it says the devas are praying for a chance to be born on Earth's planet, especially during Kali Yuga. His life is short, 50, 60, 70 years, and the means of self-realization is very powerful. Just lazy, it's a lazy man's age. It's a lazy path of spiritual perfection. Satyuga, he had to spend 60, 70,000 years meditating to get nowhere. But in this age, you can get everywhere by chanting Hare Krishna in a short time. So Prabhupada explains that, Prabhupada describes the gifts. What are the good things, the gifts about Kali Yuga? Of course, in the Bhagavatam, later in the 11th canto, Sugadeva Goswami says, Kalir Doshna Dehi Rajan, Asti Eka Mahagunan, Kirtanadi Vakrishna Siya Mukta Sangha Parampajet. There's Mahagun. Kalera Dosha Nidhi Rajan. They said, Dosha Nidhi, notion of difficulty, faults, and problems. There's one good thing, very, very good thing, Mahagun. Kirtaneva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Parambrajat. By Krishna Kirtan, one can get mukti, perfection, liberation, prema. So the Prabhupada says, because in Kali Yuga, the living beings are in a very awkward position. Supreme Lord has given some special facilities to them. By the will of the Lord, a living entity does not become a victim of a sinful act until the act is actually performed. In other words, this is a boon. In previous age, you just think about some bad thing and you get the reaction. In other ages, simply by thinking of performing a sinful act, one used to become a victim of the act. On the contrary, a living being in this age is awarded with the results of pious acts simply by thinking of them. So Manasi Seva is very much advantageous. The first boon is that they're not responsible for a sinful act. And the second boon is that if you think of something good in your mind, some devotional activity, you get the piety, you get Sukriti fall. One can attain salvation. The third thing, one can attain salvation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then the fourth benefit or advantage of Kali Yuga is by discoursing on Krishna, or speaking Krishna Katha or Krishna Leela Katha, one can get rid of all the disadvantages of Kali. And it says, and the fifth advantage is simply by reciting the Bhagavatam, one can arrest and capture the Supreme Lord within one's heart. So these are the five great advantages of the age of Kali. So Maharaj Parikshit took all the advantages and did not think any ill of the age of Kali, true to his Vaishnavite cult. These are five great benefits. Simply by chanting, attain mukti and prema, and Harikatha will remove the abhadrani. So this hearing the Bhagavatam is, and then one captures the Lord in the heart. So these are some of the great benefits of Kali Yuga. Always think good things and good things will come, good fruits will come. Before, if you think in the previous age, if you meditate on building a temple to the Lord or making beautiful offerings for the Lord, very elaborate, beautiful offerings, you wouldn't get any benefit. Unless you did it tangibly outside. But in this age, you get the benefit just by, you know, thinking about it. So you're riding on the bus, you're going to Lodi, or whatever it is, anywhere. You can think about doing service. Oh, this is Janmashtami, we're going to build a huge stage, and we're going to have all the Swami's going to come give lectures, and we're going to have big kirtan. You can dream a whole big program in your mind and you can offer this whole thing to Krishna. We'll have a lecture and Radhagwinda Maharaj will come and give Saptaha in Hindi, then someone will come speak English, and then we'll have dramas. Bhaktivinoda players will come down from London and do all kinds of dramas. And then Vyasagi will come and do kirtan. Anjali will come down, a special kirtan. So in your mind, you can have this elaborate, huge program. Air-conditioned pandal, and nice and beautiful prasad, and everyone is going to get, you know, chuck-a-chuck bog, dal-bati churma, rasgulla, and galav jamun, and rajbog, pakora, and chutney, and puri. Feast of Ji and Dahiwada and everything, big, big feast. Nectar drink. Nice program, nice arrangement. Right? And then so, you know, huge utsav, you know, the governor, the mayor, the CM of Maharashtra will come, and prime minister will be the guest of honor. And the home minister will come also and give an opening address. Very big program. Radhana Swami will fly in by helicopter from Bombay, land in the field of the college. And then be filmed on television, broadcast all around the world by BBC and Star TV and Asta. Simultaneous live coverage of the whole program. So it's like this, you know, this. Very grand, wonderful program. And if something else, it turns out just 5-6 people chant Hare Krishna, then it's not a big deal because, you know, you offered so many things in your meditation. So we should take advantage of this time and meditate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So we're talking about sacrifice. So naturally, sacrifice brings us to the idea of austerities, which are so much part of devotional life. Fasting days every month, twice a day, twice a month. And Chaturmasya, and so many different times for us to do some austerity. So when Brahma was searching out the sound, he heard when he was sitting on top of the lotus in darkness all around, he heard the sound tapa, tapa, which means austerity. But he couldn't find anyone speaking. He didn't know where that voice was coming from. So he was the only one around. He is the first and only created being with just a voice. But he surmised that the Supreme Lord must be instructing him. So then he voluntarily underwent austerities for 1,000 celestial years. And by this he satisfied Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu appeared to Brahma and revealed his personal abode, Vaikuntha, which is beyond illusion and adored by all self-realized persons. Chintamani prakarasat mashakalpa briksha laksha vritesu suravira vipala yantam lakshmi sahasrasatasam brahmasevyamanam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So this is Brahma's experience, his austerities.